Wonderful. Good morning. I'm sorry I don't see you in person, but we'll make it as personable as possible. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's shiur. Mrs. Linda Lavender is sponsoring the shiur in memory of her father's 12th yard site, Mr. William Levy Baker, whose yard site is on the 29th of Tevet. May the learning that we do today be as close for the liya of his neshama. I would like to learn with you today two of the ways in which Hashem relates to us. There are many ways in which Hashem is noheg. There are various hanhagos, various different ways in which Hashem relates to his children. I would like to learn with you today two of those ways. Today's learning is based entirely on the Siftei Chaim. Those of you who have the source sheets, it's all the Siftei Chaim. The Siftei Chaim is Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. He is a student of Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler. And he explains in his Siftei Chaim, today we're going to learn two of the ways in which Hashem interacts, in which Hashem relates to his children. One of those ways which we are very familiar with is called Hanhagat HaMishpat, the way of justice. And we are very familiar with that. And the second way, which I'd like to introduce to you today, and which I'm going to spend 95% of our time on, is called Hanhagat HaYichud, also on your source sheets known as Hanhagat HaMazal, but I'm going to be calling it Hanhagat HaYichud, which literally means the way of interacting that reveals Hashem's oneness. Now that's a mouthful, and today's goal is going to be to get a better understanding of Hanhagat HaYichud, of the way that Hashem interacts with us, that's called Hanhagat HaYichud. So let's start with the familiar and we'll travel to the unfamiliar. I'm going to be working in the text. If you don't have it in front of you, that's okay. I'll translate everything and I'm just going to focus on the underlined portions. Hanhagat HaMishpat HaTluya B'Ma'aseh B'nei Adam. We know that. Hashem's Hanhagat HaMishpat, the way that he interacts with us, that's called Mishpat justice, is really dependent on what you do. You do good, you will get rewarded. You go against Hashem's will, and there's going to be a consequence to that, zechut o chova. If you have zechuyot, Hashem will relate to you in the way that he promised in the Torah. There'll be a reward and so on. And if we go against the will of Hashem, then the Torah also lists the obvious consequences to that. Gam anashim ha-ma'aminim b'teva u'mikre, even people who really claim that they don't believe in God, and that things that happen are just like, you know, nature, mother nature, or coincidence. Nevertheless, even people like that, when they experience suffering, hardship, illness, difficult things, they say, hey, where's the justice? In other words, even people who don't really believe in God's justice, when something bad happens to him, they say, hey, where's the justice? So they really, people have an inherent understanding that there's some kind of justice in the world, and that when they face lack of justice, they demand justice. Because Hashem implanted within us a sense of justice. Some people have more of a sense of justice, social justice, and so on. But it's really part of our spiritual fiber that we demand justice when we see the opposite. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. That's something that everybody inherently knows, that there's a sense of right and wrong in the world, and Hashem will deal with a person accordingly. It's not what I want to deal with today. What I want to deal with today is Hanhagat HaYichud, also known as Hanhagat HaMazal. Le'umat zot, as opposed to Hashem's way of relating to us, which is one of justice. You do A, you get A. You do B, you get B. As opposed to that, there is a hanhaga hane'elemet me'itanu. I'm on the first page of the handout still, on the bottom paragraph. There is a hanhaga, there is a way of Hashem relating to us. Hane'elemet, it's totally hidden. Ve'en anachnu yucholim la'aradet le'shorshea ve'labin et prateya. And it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get to the root of why Hashem does certain things, and to get to the root and to the details of why Hashem does that. to really understand Hanhagat HaYichud, Hashem's relating to us through this mechanism called Hanhagat HaYichud, you would have to understand the rudiments of creation. You would have to go back to the 6 days of creation and understand the purpose of everything in the world. Shehem notnim la'adam leprat uleklal et ha'misgeret shelotocha hu nolad. A little bit of an inkling as to how Hanhagat HaYichud works is for you to observe the circumstances and the framework into which you were born. Who is your family? What type of circumstances were you born into? What are your abilities? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? How is your physical well-being? These are the parameters into which you were born. These are a good inkling into helping you see a little bit of the Hanhagat HaYichud into which you came into the world with. In light of the circumstances in which you were born, those are the circumstances where your free choice is kind of going to operate in the confines of those sets of circumstances. And that's really where you're going to operate. Hashem gave you these sets of circumstances. And if you look closely at the framework into which you were born, that will give you a little inkling as to the Hanhagat HaYichud for you personally. But let's open this up. Ubichlal Hanhagat HaYichud, I'm on page 2 now. Letzorech tachlit habri'a shehi omedet beyesoda mikrim hapokdim et ha'adam o et ha'dor. Hanhagat HaYichud is not just the way that Hashem relates to you as an individual, as a person, but Hanhagat HaYichud is the way that Hashem relates to the generation as a whole, to the nation as a whole. There are certain things which have to happen in a generation which make no sense according to justice, according to fair is fair. They look like they make zero sense. And being that I'm speaking in the year Tavshin Pei Bet, already 2022, you don't have to look too far for those of you who are following the news in the past 12 months to see that a lot of things that are falling into the lap of our generation, they kind of, if we were allowed to say that, kind of don't look like they're following Hanhagat HaMishpat. They look like there's something very different going on there. And says the Sifte Chaim, good observation. Because there are certain me'orot she'tzrichim lehidrachesh, top of page 2. There are certain events which must happen, not because the generation deserves them or erred to the degree that they have to be punished with these things, but kevan, third line, shashat zricha lekach. It's because the hour necessitates this thing to happen. Letzorech tachlit habri'a, for the purpose of the goal of creation, gilu hayichud, the revelation of Hashem's oneness. There's certain things that have to happen, and it's not because you deserve for them to happen. That's mishpat. But there's something called Hanhagat HaYichud, and that is that there's certain things that have to happen for the purpose of revealing Hashem's oneness. Bifrat bedor ikvata demishicha, especially in the generation before Mashiach comes. Kshabriya mitkarevet ala tachlit, as creation is nearing its end goal and final purpose, rov hahanhaga ba'olam, most of what Hashem is going to be doing in the world and most of the way in which he's going to be relating to us, he bahanhagar hamazal, he bahanhagar ayichud, is going to be through this mechanism, not mishpat. You deserve, you get. You don't deserve, you don't get. It's not going to be mishpat. It's going to be hanhagar ayichud, meaning the game is going to be played by a different set of rules. If you're expecting to see, you know, hey, how come, you know, the bad are flourishing and how come the good are getting worse than they have been in all previous generations? It's because you're in a pre-messianic generation and we're getting closer towards the goal of revealing Hashem's oneness. And so the things that are going to happen are going to reflect that. To increase and illuminate the revelation of Hashem's oneness in the world. Aval, bottom of page 2. Don't think that the generation before Mashiach comes, based on what we said so far, is going to be a free-for-all, and it looks like there is just no justice. No, that was not the case. Hashem will weave these two hanhagos together. Hashem is going to weave hanhagat ha-mishpat, which we're accustomed to. Good gets good, evil gets evil. And Hashem is going to weave into that hanhagat ha-yichud, which is something totally different, which I'm going to explore with you for the next half hour, which is things happening to you as an individual, to your family, to our community, to our nation, and they make no sense. And it doesn't look like we deserve them, but they're going to happen because they're going to bring closer the goal of existence, Hashem's revelation of his oneness. Page 3. Buckle your seatbelts. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in chapter Samech Vav 66, pasuk Hey, which says, "Nora alila ra'u mifalot Hashem, nora alila al bnei Adam. Behold Hashem's actions, nora alila, awesome actions upon his people." Alila is a word which we know from like alilot dam, like blood libels. Remember the libels? What is a libel? A libel is where you're accused of having done something, but you didn't really do it, but you found a little clue, a little hint, which makes you think that I really did do it. So you dump this whole accusation upon me, but it's not really justified. That's an alila, like a plot. Like somebody is plotting to put an accusation upon me, which is like not really justified. Nora alila, says a pasuk in Tehillim chapter 66, verse 5. Nora alila al bnei Adam. Hashem's alilot, again, alila, it's like a plot, an action, almost a libel that Hashem does. And these plots that Hashem puts upon us, they're awesome with a capital A, not a lowercase a. Let's take a look at some examples of Hanhagat HaYichud, of Nora Alila Al Bnei Adam, how Hashem puts this Hanhagat HaYichud into action. Here we go. Page 3, the indented paragraph. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, Afa Noraot Shata Mavi Aleinu, Balila Ata Mavi'an, says Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha in a famous Medrash Tanchuma. Hashem, the plots, the actions which you bring upon us, they're kind of a libel. How so? Kshehakadosh Baruch Hu barat haolam miyom harishon barat malach hamavet. On what day did Hashem create death, the angel of death? Day one, says the Midrash Tanchuma, b'choshech al pnei tehom. Choshech is the malach hamavet. Hashem created death on day one of creation. But who got blamed for bringing death into the world on day 6 of creation? After Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what does Hashem say? Ki b'yom ha-chacham yimeno mot tamut. Hashem says, you ate from the tree of knowledge, now you brought death into the world. But the truth is, wait, I didn't bring death into the world on day 6. Hashem, you brought death into the world on day 1. Nora alila al bnei Adam. That's a plot, Hashem. You already created death on day one of creation, but now I did something. I ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and like now the entire death story is like my fault. Yeah, kind of. Because there's mishpat, there's justice, and there's hanagat hayichud. There's bringing Hashem's oneness and revelation into the world. And sometimes Hashem will take a deed that you did and use it in order to now bring into the world something that has to happen. And it's not 100% justice. It's Hanhagat HaYichud. It's Hashem's way of relating to us that it doesn't 100% have to do with something that you deserve or don't deserve. It's that it's got to come into the world and I'm going to hook it. I'm going to hang it on this thing that you did, namely eating from the Eitz Hadat. Continues the Medrash Tanchuma. Mashal emad amar dove, what can we compare this to? Lemi shemebakesh legaresh et ishto. Imagine for a moment there is a man who for whatever reason, we're actually not told the reason, he wants to divorce his wife. But he doesn't tell her. כשביקש ללך לביתו, כתב גט. He wrote out a get, a divorce document for her, but he didn't tell her about it, and he wants to divorce her, but you and I don't know the reason. We're not told what the reason is. נכנס לביתו והגט בידו. He enters his house, the divorce document is in his hands, מבקש עלילה, and he's looking for an עלילה. He's looking for a plot, for a story, for an action, for a deed, for a libel, to give her this divorce document, but he doesn't tell her. מחפש איזו סיבה שיוכל לתלות בה. He's looking for a reason to hook this divorce document onto her, something little that she's going to do wrong, like let me look for a wrong move, and then I could say, ah, here's your divorce document. But really, you have this divorce document in your pocket for the past 2 hours. אמר לה, מזגיל לי את הכוס. So he said, please serve me a drink. She served him a drink, מזגלו. כיוון שנתה לה כוס מידה, אמר לה, הרי זה גיתך. And when he took the cup of drink from her, he said, here's your divorce document. And she said, "Mata shanti, what did I do wrong? You wanted a drink, I gave you a drink." And he said, "No, mazakli kos pashu. You poured the wrong thing for me. I asked you for a drink, you gave me the wrong drink. I wanted hot coffee, you gave me, I don't know, iced tea, something like that. You gave me the wrong thing." And she said, "You didn't just give me a divorce document because I poured you a wrong drink. You have this divorce document in your pocket for the past 3 hours. כבר היית יודע שאני עתידה לנזוק לך כוס פשוט שכתב הגט והבאתו בידיך. You knew already that I was going to probably mess up your drink because this divorce document was already in your hand. Says the Midrash Tanchuma, אף כך אמר אדם לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא. Adam Harishon said the same thing to Hashem. Hashem, you already created death on day one of creation. And now that I ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're saying that I brought death into the world. It's not really just mishpat. It wasn't just a matter of mishpat, justice. You did wrong, so you get this consequence. There's something bigger at play. Now, the truth is you and I don't know why he had this divorce document ready. But what we do know is there's something bigger at play, something larger, something massive at play, which you and I don't know the details to. Now, if I were to stop here, which I'm not, it might seem like things that happen there, are they kind of random? Are things just going to happen to us and then we're just not going to know why things happened? Let me give you another example of this. Which has to do with the parsha that we just read, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph in the book of Shmot. Actually, our parsha began in Pasuk Bet, but Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, Hashem tells Moshe, "Ata tireh asher eseh leParo. Now you will see what I'm planning to do to Paro." So right away, Rashi comes in and Rashi says, "Ata." Now you will see what I will do to Paro. Page 4. Ve'en ata roeh b'milchemet 31 melachim. But Moshe, you're not going to see what I will do to the 31 kings of Israel because you're not going to enter the land of Israel. So between me and you, at which point did God already know Moshe is not entering the land of Israel? God knew about that even before the 10 Makos. Hashem knew that Moshe isn't going to enter the land of Israel before Moshe did even what? Before he even hit the rock. But if I were to ask any sixth grade or fourth grade child, why didn't Moshe enter Israel? Everybody will say, because Moshe hit the rock. And he said, Shim'una Hamorim. And right away Hashem says later in the book of Bamidbar, Lachen lo taviu et hakol hazeh. You will not bring the Jews into the land of Israel because you hit the rock and you said, Shim'una Hamorim. But between me and you, says the Sifte Chaim, כבר במצרים גזר השם ברך על משה שלא ייכנס לארץ ישראל. Hashem, you already had a plan that Moshe wasn't going to enter the land of Israel. And then you put an alila on him, you put a plot on him, because you hit the rock, you're not going to enter Israel. According to the Sifte Chaim, the real reason that Moshe didn't enter Israel is not really because he hit the rock. That was the hook upon which Hashem placed this whole alila, this plot. which is really a much bigger reason why Moshe didn't enter Israel. And that has to do with the revelation of Hashem's oneness in the world. And that just couldn't happen if Moshe Rabbeinu was going to enter Israel. There's two things. There's mishpat, there's right and wrong. You made it wrong move, and this is the consequence. But there's something even above that, hanhagat hayichud, and that doesn't necessarily follow right and wrong, strict justice. It's something that is greater than right and wrong. So does that mean that justice falls to the wayside? And the answer is no. God forbid. Justice does not fall to the wayside. Page 5 explains the Siftei Chaim. Says the Gemara in Masechet Chulin, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ein Adam Nokef Etzbo Milemata, Ela Im Ken Machrizim Alav Bilemala. You will not stub your finger down here on planet Earth unless it has already been decreed so up in heaven. There's nothing that happens that is devoid of justice. You will not get a hurt finger. You will not get a paper cut. You will not get a stubbed toe, an ingrown toenail, a toe jammed in the door, unless it has already been decreed up in heaven. Anything that happens to you, everything, the big stuff, the medium stuff, the little stuff, the seemingly inconsequential stuff, the massive stuff, it only happens because it was good and bad stuff. It will only happen because it was decreed so from above. So for example, Reuven shehoreget Shimon. If Reuven kills Shimon, so wait, did Hashem decree that? Yes. But what about Reuven? He's going to get rewarded for doing the will of God, or he's going to get punished? Reuven is going to get punished. Mitzad echad Reuven asa lidei bechirato. Reuven acted out of his own free will. Ya'anesh, he will be punished. On the other hand, Shimon was killed not because Reuven loaded his gun and shot it. Shimon was killed because Hashem decreed it from above. So what do we see here? Two things intertwined. Hashem is using Reuven's bad free choice for his own good. Hashem is using Reuven's bad free choice to get done what Hashem anyway wants to get done on planet Earth. Ein zo stira is not a contradiction that Reuven is doing something evil, namely murder, and Shimon is getting hurt as a result. Shimon's passing was already decreed in heaven, and the messenger, the mailman that Hashem is going to use, Hashem is going to use Reuven because he knows that he's going to have a free choice that he's going to exercise that is bad and he'll get punished for it, but he's going to use Reuven's free choice to execute what he wants to happen to Shimon. V'kach meva'er ha-Ramban, explains the Ramban, v'dava ben ki ha'isha nichtam v'nichtam b'Rosh Hashanah l'ariga, a person upon whom on Rosh Hashanah Hashem decreed X, Y, and Z is supposed to happen, person is supposed to die, lo yinakeh ha-listim. His murderers are not going to get off guilt-free. No. You could say, well, the guy who killed him, maybe he deserves a reward because he did Hashem's will. No, not so is the case. Hashem will punish him, but he happens to use his bad free choice to get done what he needs to get done. Me'idach, top of page 6. Anu omrim, Shimon met kevan shekach nigzar alav milemala. But Shimon, who died, it's not random. It's not, yo, Shimon, you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but didn't. You should have worn a bulletproof vest. You should have looked twice. You should have. No. It's not shoulda, coulda, woulda, says the Ramban, explains the Siftei Chaim. Shimon met kevan shekach nigzar alav milemala. Shimon dies because that is the decree that was decreed upon him on Rosh Hashanah. But the putting it into action is going to be dependent on the bad free choice of Reuven, but it could have happened otherwise, explains the Siftei Chaim, as is explained in a rule in Masechet Ta'anit, Harbe Shluchim Lemakom. Hashem has a lot of messengers. Harbe Dubim Ve'arayot Yeshlo Lemakom Ba'olamo. Hashem has plenty of bears and lions to get things done in the world. If it's not going to be this bad lion, it's going to be that bear. And if that bear happens to be sleeping, Hashem will wake up that tiger over there to get done whatever Hashem decreed should get done on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't mean that Reuben must commit this crime. No. If he doesn't, if he decides to, you know, wake up in the morning and say, I want to do tshuva, I want to be good, I want to, you know, recycle my gun, good for you. Hashem will choose another lion or tiger to get the job done. Buckle your seatbelts really tightly, because I'm about to kind of make this a little bit less abstract and really down to earth. Bottom of page 7. Yisod zeh shekadosh baruch hu mishtamesh bibchirato hara shel Reuven, this foundation that Hashem sometimes uses somebody's bad free choice or good free choice kedei lehotzi lapoal, in order to get done what he needs to get done in the world, mevo'ar betorah, is explained in the Torah in the following mitzvah, which seems really random, but look at what's about to happen, okay? There's a mitzvah in Sefer Devarim. For those of you who have staircases or high elevation platforms that people can walk on, ki tivne beit chadash va'asita ma'akeh legagecha. If you build a home, you must make a fence around your rooftop, if it's a rooftop where people can walk. Or if you've got like an elevated porch or something that's higher than a certain amount of amos, you have to put a fence around it. So that you don't have blood in your house, so that people don't fall. Ki yipol hanofel mimeno. Ki yipol hanofel. Because I'm going to mistranslate on purpose, okay? Because a person could fall from it. I mistranslated. The pasuk doesn't say because a person could fall from your porch or from your roof. It says because, I'm making up a noun, because the faller could fall. Because the guy who's going to fall, he could fall. Huh? Why are you calling him the guy who's going to fall? He didn't fall yet. He's just a person now. After the fall, you can call him the fallen guy. But the guy didn't fall yet. Why is the Torah calling the guy who's going to fall off your roof the fallen guy? Don't call him the fallen guy. Call him the person. The pasuk should have said, ki yipol ha'adam mimeno, because a guy could fall from your roof. That's not what it says. It says, because the fallen guy could fall from your roof. The Torah should have written, because a person might fall. No. No, says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. Ra'uy ze lipol misheshet yemei bereshit. It's so hard to teach this. You'll see in a minute why. Just think of all the people who fell last year, who fell. Had a lot of people falling. The person who fell is called the fallen guy, says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, page Lamed Bet, I'm on the top of page 8, because he was already predestined to fall since the 6 days of creation. The guy who fell from your rooftop, he's not called the guy who fell. He's called the fallen guy who fell. He was already supposed to fall since the 6 days of creation. Because look, the guy in the Torah, he didn't fall yet. He's just taking a walk on your rooftop. And the pasuk calls him the fallen guy. Says Rashi, when the commandment was given, the guy hadn't fallen yet. But so why is the pasuk calling him the fallen guy? Because he was meant to fall since the 6 days of creation. And Hashem chose your rooftop for it to happen. Because you didn't put a gate around your rooftop. But it could have been from somewhere else. Hashem already decreed upon the guy who fell that he's supposed to fall. V'lachen k'ra k'tuf nofet, so Hashem calls him in the Torah the fallen guy. Kevan shekach nigzar alav, because Hashem already commanded that mereshit, merosh, milemala, before he was even created. That doesn't exonerate, that doesn't exempt the guy who didn't put a fence around his roof. He is responsible, he is liable. So there's mishpat, you didn't put a fence around your roof, it's your fault he died. That's mishpat. But then there's yichud. Hashem, you want to tell me it was random? Hashem, you want to tell me that, you know, had I screamed at my kid, don't play there, and had I watched closer, and had I supervised more? Yes, you must supervise. If you don't supervise your kids, of course you're liable. If you let your kids go, I don't know, all, you know, wild, of course it's your, of course you're responsible. The guy who didn't put a fence around his roof is liable. But there's something else at play, and that's Hanhagar HaYichud. Nothing is going to happen down here unless it was already decreed up here. Why? For what? It doesn't look like there's justice happening. There's Hanhagar HaYichud. For whatever reason, just like you and I didn't understand, why did that guy write her a divorce document and he was waiting for her to make one wrong move and he said, here's your divorce. Why? You don't know, right? No, neither do I. We don't know. We're not told that part of the story. But it's like there's a bigger story. And you sometimes you think you might know the big story. It's like Yosef thought he knew the story, right? When his brothers came down and they said, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. And he said, don't worry, I know the real reason why you sold me. No, he didn't. What did he think was the real reason they sold him? So I could sustain you and support you in the years of famine. It's so cute. You're right. But that's not the real reason they sold you. He didn't know the real reason either. The real reason they sold him, which they didn't know either. Now they're responsible. They're liable. And they are going to pay for this, having sold their brother, until the end of time. But in essence, Yosef had to go down to Egypt so the exile could start. So Egypt could start, so the redemption could happen, so we could get to Mount Sinai, so we could get the Torah, so Hashem's oneness is going to be revealed in the world. So you see what's happening? It's like there's justice. You sold your brother, you're going to pay until the end of time. He thought he knew the whole story. Hashem, you did it so that I could support them in times of famine. No, that's only what you see. There's a bigger picture. Hanhagar HaYichud. Hashem's greatness, Hashem's oneness, Hashem's revelation needs to happen. And so you need to go down to Egypt, and it's not just mishpat. It's mishpat weaved together with yichud. Page 9. Kach bi'ur hadavar. Here's how it works. Milvan ha-hanhaga ha-tluya b'ma'aseh adam. Aside from Hashem's relating to us, that's going to depend on what you do, right? Justice. Good gets good, bad gets bad. Shenigzar al adam kifni ma'asav, where you get what you get based on your actions. Yesh hanhaga, there's another way that Hashem will relate to us as individuals, as a nation, as a community. Kifi ha'tochnit shehakadosh baruch hu manigit ha'briyah mi'ad meseshet yimei bereshit. There's a plan since the 6 days of creation. V'hanhagat ha'yichud, and it's called the hanhaga, the interaction of yichud, of Hashem's revelation of oneness in the world. Hanhaga zuk shelatzma inat tluya b'maaseh bnei adam. And it's not really dependent on you doing something good or you doing something bad. It could be that something is going to be dumped into your lap and you don't really deserve it according to mishpat. You made a wrong move. You poured the wrong cup. You wanted hot coffee. You poured him cold icing. For that, you're going to give me a get? No. It's just a hook. It's just a hook. You made one wrong move, but I'm going to put a plot. I'm going to put an alila on you. And something bigger is going to happen. And it's not because you're a bad person. And it's not because you did something wrong. And it's not because you made a mistake. And it's not because I'm punishing you. It's because there's something bigger in the universe. And that is called Hanhagar HaYichud. Hashem's oneness is going to be revealed. And it's got to come about this way. And don't think you're a bad person. And don't think you're a wrong person. נמצא איפה שהמעשים מביאים לגילוי הייחוד, בין אם הם מעשים טובים, בין אם הם מעשים מרים, וגם אם האדם החליט לבחור ברע נגד רצונו, הקדוש ברוך הוא משתמש בחירתו הרעה להוציא לפועל את רצונו. Sometimes a person's good decisions, sometimes even a person's bad decisions, Hashem is going to use them to then drop a big package into the world, and it's not always going to make logical sense, but there's something that's larger that needs to unfold. And so it's going to kind of happen in this manner. Are you always going to know if that which is happening to you, page 10, is because you deserve it, or there's something different at play that just has to happen? No, you're not going to know. לדעת איזה צדיק צריך שיהיה טוב לו ואיזה רע, זה לא ידוע אפילו משה. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, couldn't tell, whether that which is happening to you is happening to you as a punishment or is happening to you because that's what needs to fall into your lap right now. אינם נודעים. These things are not known. למה חילק הקדוש ברוך הוא את התפקידים דווקא בצורה זו? Why did Hashem apportion your lot in life to look like this and my lot in life to look like that? It's not known. You're not going to know. Says the Ramchal, Ilo Atzadik Haya Yodea, if a person would know, am I going through the suffering because I did something wrong? Or am I going through the suffering because that's what you need to do in the world right now, Hashem? You're not going to know. You're not going to know. You're not going to know. So don't drive yourself crazy thinking, I'm bad, I'm horrible. Do what our sages say you need to do. Do soul searching, right? We have to do our tshuva regardless. But sometimes things are going to happen in the world, and to go with the emunah that ein avla, that there's no injustice, that Hashem is not unfair. I'll wrap up by just reminding you that in the year Tavshin Pei Aleph, and it's only like the end of Tevet, it's almost Shvat, but even in these few months, we've seen a lot of fallen. We've seen a lot of fallen, whether it's the fallen of Corona, the fallen of Meron, the fallen in Gaza, the fallen in Carlin Stolen, the fallen in the cable cars, the fallen in the terrorist stabbings, the fallen from illness, the fallen elections, the fallen governments, the fallen climate. Those of you who've been hearing what's going on just in Kentucky and Nebraska and Colorado, it's a lot of things that are falling, that are falling apart. And to understand that sometimes when things fall and you ask yourself, you know, is there mishpat? Where is the mishpat? Well, we're not Hashem. And it could be that it's mishpat that's at play. And it could also be that it's hanhagat hayichud that's at play, that there's something bigger, that there's some, you know, I'll share with you this last anecdote. And with this we'll end. And I think it's a very interesting way. One of the 45 who fell in Meron is a brother of someone who lives in our community. His name is Doron Chen, and his brother Oren. Some of you know him. He lives in our community. He was one of the 45. His mother relates that ever since this boy Doron, he died in his 40s. Ever since he was a little boy in Israel, every time when he was hot, what do you say when you're hot? You say, I'm boiling, I'm schmoiling, I'm schwitzing, I'm chalishing, I'm platzing, right? That's what you say when you're hot. This particular boy who was not a boy when he died in Meron, he was one of the 45, he used to say to his mother, Ima, chamli esh Meron. I'm so hot, mommy. I'm hot like the fires of Meron. His mother, I would not be allowed to say this myself, but because his mother said it, I feel like I can repeat it. His mother said it's almost like his soul knew that he was destined to the day that he would fall, that he would not fall in the army, and he was in the army, and he would not fall, I don't know, in a car accident, plenty of car accidents in Israel. He would fall in Meron. It's almost like his soul knew it. Is it a punishment? Is it mishpat? Not necessarily. Is there something else at play? Is there maybe hanhagat hayichud, something that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand? Is there something bigger at play that is going to be necessary to bring Hashem's revelation of oneness into the world in whatever way Hashem deems necessary? Perhaps hanhagat hayichud is a way for us to, a pair of glasses for us to utilize to look at the events that are happening that could be mishpat, like the Ramchal said, you're not going to know if it's mishpat, but it's also possible that it could be Hashem's way of relating to us that is Hanhagata Yichud. I'll leave you with that.